This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. You ready to throw it down, Ben?
Yes, sir.
Today we're talking about your article titled The Battle Before the War, which appears in the Chicago Reader on June 10th, 2010. And this article talks about the Chicago Teachers Union election for president that's going on now. There was one election and now there's a runoff. And your article also talks about the position of the teachers union with respect to its members' employers, the Chicago Public Schools. Ben, you call the current CTU president, Marilyn Stewart, one of a long line of union accommodationists. I presume you mean more than just a non-confrontational negotiating style, which is how a later quote in the article portrays her. What are some examples of how Stewart's, what you call faction at CTU, has accommodated Chicago Public Schools?
Well, the biggest example, and I touch on it briefly in this article, has to do with the whole issue of central office policymaking. The union, the Chicago Teachers Union, which has largely been run, governed by the same faction that Stewart represents, has taken a hands-off attitude toward curriculum and policy. As a result, they barely even really offer an opinion, much less oppose central office dictates. The most egregious case, I would have to say, is the high-stakes testing movement of the 90s and early 00s that was initiated by Paul Vallis and is, to a degree, still being carried on today with such tremendous emphasis is placed on testing, test results, to the point where the central office was dictating to teachers what they taught and when they taught it, all in preparation to get children to score higher on a test, as though that was any significant barometer of how they can read, write, do calculations, and think. Down through the years, I've heard many complaints from teachers who are frustrated by being forced to spend so much of their classroom time preparing kids for the tests, but it was a subject that was just largely ignored by the union, whose principal position is our main function is to make sure that our members get a good contract and that the board adheres to that contract. In other words, bread and butter issues of salary. So that's probably the greatest example. And then there's other minor examples of cases where Vallis in particular, who's very heavy-handed in punishing individual teachers that rubbed him the wrong way, and the union largely let those teachers alone to hang, figuring it was Vallis's role and let him do it. So that's essentially what I'm getting at.
It begs the question, what should the role of a labor union be? On the one hand, they should arguably fight for fair wages and good benefits and good working conditions. But on the other hand, there's the role of evaluating and challenging management's policies. So I'm wondering, should a union ideally do both or perhaps focus on one or the other? And then secondly, does whether they focus on one or the other depend on the type of business they're in? For example, public schools versus a manufacturer versus a retailer?
That's a great question, Dave. And that gets to the heart of things. By and large, for better or for worse, the majority of teachers in Chicago want their union or would prefer their union to stay out of policy issues, to stay out of curriculum debates, and to dedicate its time to getting them more money, getting them higher salaries and better benefits. That's what teachers have wanted. That's what the union has delivered.
So they're really representing what the rank and file want.
That's what I wrote in the article. It's been a successful policy. I mean, it's been a successful practice for the union because not only have they been able to get almost annual raises for their employees over the last 10 years or so, but...
It sounds like you feel they're somewhat misguided, the teachers are.
Oh, absolutely. I say this all the time to my... I tell teachers, I love you as teachers, but when you get together as a union, I always just shake my head. Dave, you've known me for a while now. You know I'm usually on the wrong side of all the issues. I've been advocating citizens of Chicago not to vote for Mayor Daley for years, and they keep voting him and reelecting him year to year. So it's not unusual for me to be on the unpopular side of an issue.
Well, we talked recently how you're sort of a hero now amongst Chicago teachers, and so perhaps you've got a bully pulpit to persuade teachers to focus more or to be more concerned about policy that you haven't had before.
Maybe. This is just sort of a reawakening of an issue that I've written about in the past. I've been doing this for a long time. I haven't written a lot about education in the last 5 years or so. I've been focused so much on City Hall. But in the 90s, I wrote about this issue a lot. I think that the real issue beyond curriculum that's so important that teachers recognize now, put a curriculum aside, we've been discussing the union as getting involved in curriculum, and that may seem, you know, too unrealistic. Or not connected to real life to deal with. The whole issue of financing and how schools are funded and how government in general is funded, and obviously the next point of the TIF program and the impact it has on public school education. I don't know how the teachers' union can continue to ignore that, because the TIFs divert so much money from the public schools and put such a squeeze on the property tax payers of Chicago, who are a key supporter of public education. So for the union to continue to ignore the impact of TIFs on public spending is to act in the detriment and is to really put the squeeze on their own members. If they pretend as though the TIFs don't exist, as they have pretended for the last 15 or so years, then there's really not much leverage they have when they're negotiating with Huberman and Daley over how much money there is for teacher raises, or to not forget raises, just to keep the board from firing teachers.
So you connect this policy issue with the other posture of the union, which is to fight for good wages. It's directly tied to that policy.
Absolutely. So forget, you know, the airy stuff about curriculum, which education professors will discuss, even if that means at least tacitly supporting some goofball policies. And just concentrate on your bread and butter issues. You're not doing any service to your rank and file members if you look the other way while the Board of Education allows this TIF madness scam to continue. And furthermore, then there's the whole issues, which is far too complicated for this conversation, but will probably be the subject of a future article. What's going on with the pension and how the board is being allowed to spend pension dollars on current budgets? So there's these really important budget issues that the union has largely ignored so long as the board has promised to give them raises. Well, now the board says they're too broke to maintain those promises. All right, well, if you're going to concede that they truly are broke, then I think it's incumbent upon the union to demand reforms right now of how the board spends its money and how the city spends its public dollars, so that in the future, teachers won't have to pay such a heavy burden for this misguided policy. There's a group, a coalition of parents who want, this is radical, they want the Board of Ed, the Chicago Public Schools, to pull out of the TIF program. So every TIF district from here on out, the board would not be participating in the TIF.
What's the name of this coalition?
Raise your hand.
Okay, I raised my hand. Now will you tell me?
Oh, he's got jokes. I thought that's a pretty clever raise your hand. But anyway, they're pretty smart people, and they delivered a letter to Daley and Huberman asking the schools to back out of the TIF program, which, I mean, I don't know if that will happen unless Daley's voted out of office.
The Chicago Teachers Union, take note.
Yeah, well, the Chicago Teachers Union has not taken an official stance on this proposal. It's just such a fledgling movement that, as far as I know, the coalition has not delivered their letter to the Teachers Union. They delivered it to Huberman and Daley. So we'll see. Hmm. But that would be a great thing for them to join.
Makes sense to me. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.